Welcome to episode 2 of Tripolar. I'm your host, Nico Minetti, and there may be a co-host, my little sister, Gabriella Minetti, also known as Brie Minetti. We'll see. We're very different people, my sister, but we're very alike. It would be an interesting dynamic, the two of us co-hosting a show, because we kind of have been developing that twin thing where you like say the same thing at the same time. Now that she's kind of an adult, we're very alike. We'll have those moments. We have a lot of fun together, and we have good, we would have good on-air chemistry. If nothing else, I want to have her as a host for a few episodes, have her as a guest, and it would be nice to have someone to kind of offset, if I'm feeling like, hey, I need a break, I can't think of something to say. Throw it to Brie. Throw it to the co-host. Anyways, what's the topic today? Today, we'll do a pretty brief episode, but I wanted to talk about a sort of cultural, I don't know if I want to say phenomenon, because it's not a phenomenon. It's something that is real, that we like to think would not apply to us, and that does, and has applied to any member of any cultural movement in history. It is applied to, maybe I shouldn't make it such a blanket statement, but it is applied to pretty much any society that has done something collectively. Any culture that operates under the same set of rules and regulations, which is pretty much how we define societies. This is getting kind of anthropological, but this show knows no bounds. Just because it's a mental wealth podcast doesn't mean we can't touch on other disciplines. It's an interdisciplinary podcast. So, what are you getting at, Nico? Here's what I'm getting at. Pharmacists and Nazis are alike. Let me give you a second to let that sink in. Here's why I say that. So the other day, I was refilling one of my medications, Dexedrine, which is one of the core ingredients in Adderall. And it's kind of just like a smoother version of an Adderall, is how I'd put it. My doctor prescribed it to me last year, and I really like it. And I'm pretty dependent on it now, where I take it twice a day, and if I don't take it first thing in the morning, I'm tired, I'm groggy, which I'm not sure wasn't the case before I took the drug. I always hated the morning, I was tired when I woke up, so I think it just prevents me from hitting those tired, adjusting my volume. It was doing a flashing thing, I think that means I was peaking. Alright, anyways, so, where was I going with that? So, I had to refill these pills, right? I'm down to one, okay? I'm at work. And the plan had been to go to Walmart before work, drop my script off at the pharmacy, go to work on my lunch break, come back to the pharmacy, grab my pills, boom. Smooth operation, right? Yeah, no. So, I get to Walmart before work. I know I started off saying, hey, I'm at work, but I'm backtracking, okay? I'm backtracking to before I was at work. I'm on my way to work. I go early. I break up my routine to get in early, okay? And I think this is an OCD thing, but I hate arriving places early. I'm not a fan of showing up late. I prefer to be late than early, but I'm all about showing up exactly on time. As close to on time as possible. I love when I arrive and it's like, your shift starts at 2. It's 1:59 when I walk in the building. By the time I clock in, it's 2. Bam. That feels good. I don't know why. It just does. If I'm early, I don't like it. What am I supposed to do? Why am I here? What's this all about? I'm here and I'm not supposed to be here yet. And then, I'm uncomfortable. If I'm there too late, there can be repercussions. But hey, it's called fashionably late. There's no such thing as fashionably early, is there? No. So, I break up my routine to go to Walmart to drop this script off. Should be a smooth operation, it's not. I arrive, there's some hick-ass woman in front of me, you know, having some situation. While I'm in line, I notice a hell of a character. And I'm grateful I went just because I saw this guy. He just looked like the ultimate, I don't want to be mean, but the ultimate tool. He was like a redneck type of guy, but with like kind of rock star sort of boot cut jeans, you know, with like the fancy pockets that button up on the back. Like, you know that it costs over $120 because of that design on the pocket. Those kind of jeans, which, hey, I'm not knocking them. I've owned a pair in the past, and I wore them with pride. But the way this guy wore those jeans with a tight t-shirt, Oakley shades, he had a faux hawk, okay? He had a bandana hanging from his pocket. I'm getting too descriptive. This guy might hear this and come after me, because he did look a little dangerous. I want to say he had pierced ears, goatee. He was a character, is what I'm saying. He really brought me back to the 90s, and that got me thinking about how, you know, what's cool now isn't cool later. It's weird how, you know, fashions change, haircuts change, all that. Like, a faux hawk used to be very commonplace. I used to have one, you know. Before that, I had a bowl cut. It was cool when I had that. Now, neither one is appropriate in our culture. And, anyway. Getting off topic. So, I'm up. I give him the script, and the lady's like, okay, let me check up and see if we have that on the computer. Looks up. We only have 40 pills, and it's supposed to be 60, right? So, I can fill the 40, or you can come back on Tuesday, and we'll have a full shipment. We could fill the whole thing. So, I said, okay, well, give me the 40. And then I'll come back next week, and we'll get the other 20, right? She goes, can't do that. It's against the law. So I'm like, what? Yeah, it's against the law. It was a bad impression, but, you know, it's against the law in Missouri, nationally probably. I don't know. Anyways, it's against some law. So, I don't have time to debate it. I'm late for work now, okay? I buy some toiletries, so my visit wasn't a total waste, and I wound up 10 minutes late to work. Never late, right? 10 minutes late to work. Don't like that. So I'm stressed. Starting my day pretty stressed. But, you know, we'll recover. We'll get these pills. It'll work out. Contingency plan. I call a pharmacy that I used to go to all the time. Emphasis on used to, because I didn't like this experience one bit, okay? This place was called Medicine Shop. Like the people who work there, generally. But gonna have to call them out, because this is some bullshit. So, I call Medicine Shop from work, okay? On my work phone, because, see? They're interfering with my work now. Call them on my work phone. Tell them, hey, here's what I need. 60 pills, right? No, I said it very, like, clinically. I was like, dextroamphetamine, 10 milligrams. Quantity, 60. Instant release. I just said all the buzzwords, right? Okay, yeah, let me see if we have it, right? By the way, why are there no male pharmacists? The only male pharmacists are Asian men. That's a fact. You show me a not Asian male pharmacist, and I'll show you a look of surprise. Because I'm not expecting to see a not Asian male pharmacist. They're mainly women. Moving on. So, tell them what I need, right? She's checking, all right? She comes back. Yep, we have that in stock. Okay, great. Can you please have it ready for me? Because what time do you close? 6 o'clock, right? Okay, so I'll take my lunch break. This should work out. I'll take my lunch break. I'll come by before 6, right? We'll get those pills, and I'll be on my way, you know? That'll work out, right? Okay, yeah. So can you please prepare the pills for me so when I get there, it doesn't take long because I'm on my lunch break. Okay, yeah, sure. Hangs up, right? All right, well, that went well. Nope. Get a call from her, right, on my cell. that had it on file or whatever. A few minutes later, hey, there's a thing here that says your doctor doesn't want you taking that anymore. Like, she says, like, a fact, like a question. Whenever someone says a fact, like a question, it's not going to be good. So, I'm like, what? Yeah, your doctor says, no, that can't be right. He wrote me the prescription. Call the doctor if there's a thing in your system or whatever, and he'll tell you I'm supposed to be taking this. So, I get another call a few minutes later. Hey, yeah, so we talked to the doctor, and it's okay. Okay, yeah, I know. We're back where we started, right? So could you please get the... I didn't say that. I'm being very polite, okay? This is my internal monologue. I'm mixing it with my normal monologue. Dialogue. I understand that could get confusing, right? I should be using maybe different voices. But, hey, I'm sorry. We're this far into it. I can't just introduce new characters now. It'll just confuse you. So, I tell her... Same thing. Could we get these pills ready so on my lunch break? Blah, blah, blah. Right? I won't bore you by saying it again. Actually, I can't do that because we're legally not allowed to fill it unless you have a script. So it's, okay, I have a script, right? Which is why we're doing this whole thing. You just talked to my doctor who wrote the script. So we know there's a script, right? You know what I need. And I'm just asking, could you have it ready to go? And when I get there, I'll give you the script, you give me the pills, you know, I'll give you the money, I'll leave. Sorry, it's not legal. So this whole conversation was a fucking waste of time, in other words. I could have just shown up at before they closed, and we would have the same court result at this point, right? So I'm frustrated. I'm like, okay, I'll bring the script, fill it then, well, all right, bye. Get off the phone, get back to work, right? Now, at this point, I'm upset at humanity a little bit. Okay? Because let's review the situation for just a second. What would happen if this was some kind of conspiracy? I didn't have a script. That doctor, you know, I was impersonating him. I snuck into his office. I answered his phone. I pretended to be him to confirm I was allowed to take the pills that he wrote me. I show up, right? I don't have a script. What happens? Well, don't give me the fucking pills then, okay? You take the lid off and you pour them back into the box that you got them out of. It's not that hard, right? Why can't you have them ready? Now look, I know it sounds like I'm overreacting, right? It sounds like I'm overreacting. But wait until you hear what happens next. I'm not overreacting. So I get there, okay? Get to the pharmacy. Give them the script. Hey, I'm the guy that we've been on the phone with all day. Give them the script, right? 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes later, they're asking how long's my lunch break. Like, it's like an hour, right? It's almost a half hour, you know? So why are you going to take more leisurely pace than you have to? You know I'm in a rush, you know? So 10 minutes pass. They come back. And this is a very small shop, by the way. It's, I see them the whole time. They come back. Okay, so here's the situation. We have 30 pills. And your script is for 60. Again, we've established that multiple times over the phone. Right? And so we can either let you pick up 60, we can order them and we'll have them in on Tuesday, or we can give you 30 now. Okay, so it's like deja vu. Of course, I say the same thing. Well, give me the 30, right? I'll come back and get the other 30 on Tuesday. And then, you know, we're good. I'm a little frustrated because you said you had them, but we're good. Because I have plenty. I'll come back and get the rest, right? Makes sense. Hey, let's work. Let's make a deal. No. I'm sorry. That would be against the law. I make them recap. My options are I either take half of the medication I'm supposed to get, and that's a done deal. That's all I get. Right? Or I wait like 5 days and I don't have my medication for several days. And then I can have the full amount I was supposed to get. They brought up, oh, well, you could get the doctor to write you another script. Again, makes no sense. I mean, we could get the same guy to write another script for the... don't get me started. But so I tell him, no, my insurance then will say, no, you can't double up and we're not going to pay for this one. And then it's going to cost like $7,000, whatever the hell bullshit price it is, you know, when insurance isn't involved. So I'm in a debacle and I say, you know what? I'm going to go to another pharmacy. I'm going to try to fill it. Please just order the pills. I'll come in on Tuesday, but I'm not going to sacrifice half of my stash because of this bullshit, right? And I'm very polite, but I tell him, you know, I leave, right? And then I turn around and I come back into the store. And I say, you know what? I was like, how does this make sense? I just asked him that. They say, well, you know, it's the law. I say, I understand if it's a rule, but how does this make any sense? And they just say the same thing. Well, that's the rules. I said, yeah, but we know what's going on here, right? You have half of what I need. You can give that to me, and then I can get the other half later. And that makes sense, right? You're like, well, you know, but the rules dictate. I said, I understand. I was like, in the future, I would encourage you to not follow irrational, unjust laws. And they laugh. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that's cute. No, I said, this country was built on people who didn't follow stupid rules. And they, like, they can tell I'm a little agitated now, so they're like calming down. But, you know, and I leave, and I'm just like, you know what, all right, whatever, this is stupid. And she was like, well, it's not worth losing my pharmacy license over. And I was like, all right, well, I get you on that, you know, who fuck me, right? I didn't say that, but yeah, I agree. Like, I'm not gonna put myself on the line for some guy. Who cares, right? But at the same time, yeah, I think I would, because that's a bullshit rule, and it's stupid, and I know the situation, and I'm not going to just follow some stupid procedure if it doesn't make any sense, right? I'm going to use my discretion as a human being with rationality, and I'm going to say, okay, someone wrote that rule down, maybe it's a good rule in general. In this case, it doesn't apply, because here's the situation. We made a mistake. Things are just lining up a weird way, and we're going to adapt to the circumstance. And we know this guy. He's not a drug dealer. He's not some addict. He's come here like 72 times in the past. We can see in the system. And he gets prescribed this very often, very consistently, to the point you might say it's his routine. It's what a doctor wants him to do. But no, rule says, fuck you. All right? And you're going to see in a second why I'm so passionate about this. I know it sounds like a silly thing, but it's not. So I tell him, you know, I take the argument a little further. I'm like, okay, well, how would you get caught? I ask her, right? Okay, it's against the rules. So say you break the rule and you do what makes sense. How would you get caught? No response. She's like, well, you know, I could lose my license or what. I said, okay, so if your friends tell on you, if one of these ladies tells on you, and I point to them, I'm like, so you don't trust your coworkers is what this means. So now I'm kind of causing drama. I get it. But you know what? You guys, fuck you. All right? You put me in a situation, and I got 15 minutes before I got to be back to work, and I don't have my pills, right? And I got to find another pharmacy here who's got them. Otherwise, I got to wait till Tuesday or whatever, and I got my, you know, it's a mess. So, you know, long story short on that is front, just so you know, I got my pills. I had to call a CVS. They didn't have it. I called the Walgreens. They did have it. I got to the Walgreens. I gave them the script. I got there 5 minutes before they closed after I got off work to get my pills. And I got them, okay? Oh, my God, what an ordeal. And now here's where this rolls into an entire episode and something worth. I hope you stuck around to get to this point, because here's where it really kicks in. So last night, I'm watching this thing on Netflix. It's called, I'll try to pull it up while I'm talking, but it's called something about Nazis, right? It's on, that doesn't narrow it down, I know. It's a lot of things on Nazis on Netflix. They should call it Nazi-flix. Nazflix. Nazflix. But, so I'm on Nazflix, and there's a three-part series where they interview former Nazis, right, who are super old now. They're in their 80s and 90s, but they're wanted war criminals or alleged war criminals that people want to stand trial. And there's this one super Jew guy, right, who is hunting him down. It's called The Last Nazis, okay? I'm going to give it 3 stars right now. I liked it. Kind of a tough critic. So there's this lone Jew guy who hunts him down, and he basically uses the power of complaining to catch him. It's a really, I'm not going to say it's funny, because it's a very serious subject matter, obviously. In the first episode, the guy they're hunting is a comic book villain. I mean, everything about this guy, oh my god, it sounds fictional. The whole story, it's dastardly. It sounds like he was a terrible guy, this guy. But, like a comic book villain, it's a ridiculous story. I won't get into it, but watch it if you want to see. He was like a doctor guy, performed all these experiments, and anyways, he got away, right? And he's like a millionaire, supposedly, and he really just like played his cards right, and he's like beat the system, and as far as we know, he's like still alive and well and chilling and working with his son, and they're gonna get all his money when he's dead or whatever. Anyways, so and the Jewish guy, he's funny in that he's like a super stereotypical Jew. Who's just kind of just, he's pretty sarcastic. I mean, he's making jokes. He's, it's very like, hey, you know, what are we going to do? We got to get these guys. They got to face justice. You know, he talks like that. And, he complains a lot to the point where people just, you know, they're like, all right, fine. Let's find these guys. Like the country's moved on, you know, Germany doesn't want to bring up Nazi stuff anymore. Maybe because they're planning another attack. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a 3-part series, these wars. But, you know, Europe in general, the world in general, has moved on. And rightfully so. We should move on when there's tragedies. Like, let's not live in the past. Especially if our generation wasn't even a part of it, right? Now, maybe it's in our DNA. Maybe these tensions carried over because the ramifications reach generations. There's a ripple effect. I get it. But, you know, like with the Japanese, we get along with those guys, right? We were killing each other. And when I say we, not me. Or, you know, our grandparents, whatever. They, you know, they're all fighting a war, but we're fine. We're good. And it should be like that with Germans now. But they really want to hunt down these last fellas who are like senile now. And, you know, anyways, I'm describing this series instead of telling you my point. My point is that what these guys used was the same kind of, when they finally did talk about the events, like it was really hard to get these guys to talk about it because they knew that they might get caught, and they still seem pretty sharp, these super old guys. Like, they're trying to be as charming as they could and constantly, like, giving out drinks and trying to you know, charm people. Anyways, as a, like the Nuremberg defense, I was just following orders, okay? And each, you know, they said that. They were like, I wasn't responsible for that. Well, I just did what I had to do, what I was told to do. It's, what am I gonna do? You know, this guy, they rounded up and brought these like 1,000 people to the riverbank and shot him in like Croatia one night, and this guy was in charge of like rounding the people up, essentially. And you know, he was like, hey, I just rounded him up, I didn't shoot anybody, you know. I didn't know it was gonna happen, I just did what I had to do. It was my job, you know. And that was basically his defense. And he refused to admit, basically, that he was complicit in, you know, mass murders. But you see that same... And these guys were pretty sharp. I think they're sharper than the average guy, and they were in positions of power. But, you know, you could look at it. Any soldier would use that excuse if they were caught by the other side, right? I mean, these guys weren't criminals, not at that time. It was a war. They were doing the shit that they had to do because that's what they were told to do by the people who wrote the rules and who said what to do. And it's the same thing with these pharmacists. They just follow the fucking rules, right? So they don't care. They don't pay attention. They don't care what the ramifications are. They're just going to follow the rules because they don't want to get in trouble and they don't want to lose their job. Which is the same thing these Nazi guys all did. They did their job because that's what they had to do to make a living. They might get killed if they didn't do it. They would definitely not be provided for. They wouldn't fit in with their society. They would lose their station in life if they didn't, you know, at least on the surface level, be complicit in whatever they were meant to do. And, you know, it's, as I speak, there's like a Apache helicopter flying overhead for no reason. I think that's weird, too, that we have helicopters with, like, missiles flying around and everyone's okay with it. Anyways, so, yeah, that pharmacist is like a Nazi. And now, obviously, the ramifications of her not giving my medication is not the same as her, you know, not letting someone out of a concentration camp or what have you. But still, it's that same psychology. We're all we care about is ourselves. We just want to get by. We want to be happy. We want to have the stuff we need. And we don't want to get in trouble. That's the primary human motivation every day, I feel like, for most people is, I just don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to deal with any stress. I don't want to be aggravated. I don't want to worry about losing my job. I don't want. They follow the rules. They do what they're told to do, or they at least work hard to put on the appearance that they're doing what they're told to do. And that's it. And, you know, what's the cure to that? I think it's being reasonable. It's refusing to just follow rules, right? It's having the courage to say, yeah, you said to do that, but at the end of the day, I'm a human being with my own capacity to make a decision. So I know that's what you think I'm going to do, and that's what everyone else around you thinks I'm going to do, but ultimately, I'm going to decide. Now, I get it if the stakes are low. If it's like, fuck this guy, I don't know him, I don't care about him, I don't care if he gets his pills. Yeah, all right, I get it. But, you know, what if the stakes were higher? What if you knew I was going to die, right? Would you still make that decision? Actually, the answer is pretty much yes, because I'll tell you another quick story. I was with my sister. I'll just say, I don't think she'll mind me saying this. And when she was working for me for the family restaurant, I was the manager. I was taking her to the city. I was taking her to work. Anyways, we live kind of in a rural area we call the city, places with more than one Walmart. Anyways, like a Walmart and a Target. Anyways, so my sister, it was soon after a attempted mass shooting in our town, okay? Really happened, very sad. A kid she went to school with killed himself after being chased by the police and had ton of ammunition and a shotgun in his car, and, you know, one can assume he planned to shoot up the school, or at least certain people in there, and so it was a tragedy, and it was pretty soon after that it happened, and my sister had panic attacks, and she was having nightmares and all these things that are completely understandable, that, you know, any of us would if someone we were close to or was an acquaintance was thinking about doing that, you know. And she had a panic attack. Something triggered something. And she was really... I'd never seen her like that. And I was really scared. And I knew she needed Xanax. Because Xanax is a cure for a panic attack. It's... I don't know what it does exactly. But it chills you the fuck out. No matter what. It just... Whatever's going on. Xanax is just like... System override. We're just gonna... Fuck this. We're going to sleep. And that's what Xanax does. Right? And so... I needed to get her a Xanax, and I'm like an hour away from the house where I have some, and there's a pharmacy right by where I work, so we're going to go there, you know? Same pharmacy, okay? Medicine shop. I go there, I ask him for the pill. Oh, we need a doctor to write a prescription. I'm like, look at her, she's fucking panicking, she's in the car, she's losing her shit, give her one pill, you know? What do you think, this is a trick? Yeah, same thing. There's rules, there's regulations. So I get the doctor, same doctor, has to, like, call a thing and write a thing, whatever the fucking procedure is. He did a good job, you know. He was a little skeptical at first, but then I, you know, convinced him, and he did what he needed to do, and we got our pill, but it took a lot longer than it needed to. They should have said, here's a little bit of a pill. You're taking it here. We know that's what it's for. We don't think you're putting on this performance to get a single pill that you're going to sell on the streets. But no, it's the rules. It's the regulations. So, you know, It's like, fuck that way of living, because we see what happens. The few people who get into the position of power then make decisions that their individual decision is essentially a decision that everyone in the society, everyone that works for them, has made collectively, because they're just going to do what that person says to do. And that's how you get a Hitler, a Mussolini, a Stalin, even to an extent a George Bush, whoever is in charge, to just say, and you do it, because that's what you're trained to do. That's what you're used to. That's what you understand to be your role in society. But the beauty of our country is at least we have the freedom of speech to talk about how we shouldn't behave that way. I mean, we should hold ourselves to our own standards of reasonability and decency and rationality and, you know, to our own virtues before we hold ourselves to an obligation to follow the rules, especially if we're not going to get caught for breaking the fucking rules. That's what really drives me crazy, is when people are unwilling to break a rule because, like, just because. When they know they won't get caught. They know the odds of them getting caught are so minuscule. But they still won't do the right thing because they're fucking robots. They're automatons. You know, and we're so programmed, especially in America, to just follow the rules. I get it. We're a country based on laws, and we have to follow those laws. I get that. And there's forces there to come after you and beat the shit out of you, throw you in a cage, shoot you, whatever, if you don't follow them, so you follow them. Okay, I get it. And, you know, it's a pretty sensible way of running things, on the whole. But the laws won't always apply. I think Napoleon, who I don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy, you know, now we look at him as kind of like we're impressed with him. He's probably an asshole, but anyways, he has a quote: "The laws that govern circumstances are changed by new circumstances." Now, I respect that he at least had that understanding of life, that we have these laws, these rules, these things we have to follow, right? These procedures. But if the circumstances don't fit the reasoning behind those rules, if we intuitively know and understand that the rules, that whoever thought of that isn't here right now, isn't looking at what I'm looking at right now, isn't confronted with this decision, and if they were writing that rule right now, they probably wouldn't write it that way. Or they would write an exception. But because it's not written down, because you can't justify that, oh, well, you know, I can't get in trouble because XYZ, you know, like, fuck you if that's you. Because you're the type of person that people could commit genocide with if they wanted. You're the type of person who will do whatever the fuck they're told to do. Don't be that guy anymore. Don't be that girl anymore. Break stupid rules, especially when the stakes are low. I encourage this. Rules change, right? And they usually change when a lot of people break them, right? Because that means a lot of people think that shouldn't be a rule. That's what we're looking at with marijuana right now, right? The law says you're not allowed to smoke this plant that makes you see reality different. That's against the rules. Everyone, you know, for the most part is like, okay, I'm not going to do that now. But a lot of people are like, fuck that. I like it. It's a plant. What the fuck are you to tell me I can't ingest a plant and sit on my couch and watch a movie and enjoy it more, eat some chips and think that I'm in fucking paradise and jerk off and be like super happy? Whatever it is, you know? Why the fuck can't you smoke a joint? Why can't you, you know? What? Why? Who cares? Right? Alcohol, there's more, like, I agree, you should be able to drink, too. But, like, alcohol is so much more dangerous. And we're okay with that. I mean, we saw what happened when we outlawed that. The same shit that happened with weed, right? All these criminals took over because they're the only ones who could work in that space. And criminals use violence to get the job done because they don't operate in the same realm as, legal businesses. They can't use legal recourses of law to ensure routine business goes according to plan, to uphold contracts, to hold people accountable. So they resort to what people did before we had laws that people followed, and that's they use violence. You set people back to that point, to that time, when you outlaw something that shouldn't be outlawed. It's just fucking retarded. And I encourage everyone who wants to smoke weed. Because fuck it, why not? It's a stupid law, right? And enough people are doing that, right? That the laws are changing. That more, courageous state governments like California, who I'm proud to be a, California resident, California citizen, I should say. They were ballsy enough to say, like, hey, we're going to let the people decide on this one, right? Everyone thinks this is stupid, for the most part. I mean, not everyone smokes weed, but everyone in our state pretty much thinks, like, who gives a shit, right? Unless they're doing something dangerous to other people. Yeah, if they're getting high and driving and crashing, then all right. If they're getting high and, like, robbing convenience stores of chip aisles, all right. But you punish them for those things. But everyone's like, no, this is stupid. Why are we spending, like, on top of it being stupid for the government to tell people what they can ingest, it's stupid for the government to be taking everybody's money, right, through taxes, and using it to hire and train people whose job and purpose in life it is to hurt and arrest and throw in cages people who do that drug or give it to someone else or sell it to, like, what the fuck is going on? You're going to look at this in history and people are going to listen to this podcast and be like, yeah, that guy was on, he was right. But people are afraid to even say what I'm saying, right? People are so afraid to even voice what I just voiced, even though I guarantee you most Americans agree with me. Most Americans think we shouldn't be spending all these resources punishing people for something that they can do because they can do it. And it's easy to do. It's a plant. And they want to do it, so they're doing it. And it doesn't affect you or me or anyone really, right? You could argue that maybe it prevents people from living up to their full potential or whatever. You know what? But fuck that. Like, who says they have to live up to their full potential? They're free people, okay? No one has to do anything. And by the way, I think weed helps you live up to your full potential. Because I think it allows you to see the world in a different way, if only for brief periods. And that inspires creative thinking, which at least in my line of work is useful. I don't know about everyone else. But, I'm definitely of the mindset that it's not the type of thing that you're going to get addicted to like you would. I wouldn't, but like a lot of people would with cigarettes, even with alcohol. With other drugs that are far more dangerous and are legal. So, I don't want to get too political right now, but the point is, that's a wonderful example of something that should not be a rule we follow because it's fucking retarded. And we're only feeding a system that thrives off the suffering of people who've done nothing wrong. When we follow these laws, and more so when we enforce them, okay? I'm talking about those black guys. I'm talking about the brothers. They're the ones who are really getting fucked here in America, let's be honest, okay? A white guy could smoke a joint, get a fine maybe, okay? If he gets caught, which he probably won't to begin with, because the police aren't fucking raiding his beach house to see if there's any marijuana there, right? Say they do. Say the cops are patrolling the suburbs looking for kids on stoops with weed and they catch a white kid. They're not going to fucking throw the book at them and try to, you know, punish them. They're not going to throw him in jail if he sold his friend a little weed. Because here's what you're doing. You're taking that black kid, right? And it's not because he's black. It's because, well, to a degree maybe it is. There's just racism. But it's because he's poor, right? He's poor. He's living in an area where there's not a lot of opportunity, okay? He doesn't have a dad, okay? His teachers aren't very good at school. He's surrounded by criminals because a lot, you know, mainly in part because you've made something stupid illegal. But he's surrounded by an environment that doesn't really encourage him to learn and excel the same way your environment did if you're a white guy in middle America or whatever, right? And you take that kid and you throw him in jail, right? Juvie, whatever it is. And you keep a record of that. And that record follows that kid, right? So now when he's applying to college and they ask, have you ever been convicted of anything? And they do a background check and they find out that the kid has. He won't even apply to begin with, most kids, because they know they're fucked, right? So they're like, at that point, they're like, all right, fuck college. What's left for me, right? I didn't do well in school. I'm not going to college. What am I going to do? There's not a lot of opportunity that I can see. The only people that I'm really close with maybe are criminals. The only thing I really know maybe is this drug game that I've been a part of, and that's my network. That's my network. That's who I could work for. That's who's, you know, who has internships. Okay? It's a vicious cycle, man, and we know it, right? We're turning a blind eye to it and allowing systematic oppression of black people in America. Not just black people, but to a far greater extent black people. And I'm sticking up for the brothers right now, and I'm saying, fuck that shit, man. Fuck that shit, right? Stop it. Stop arresting these kids. Give them help. Don't give them records. It's fucking bullshit, man. And it takes people like me and you. It just takes people saying that's bullshit. That's the first step towards change. And it always has been. The first step towards change is a guy saying, that's bullshit. And then someone else going, yeah, that's bullshit. And then the bullshit echoes. So when you have a loud enough bullshit echo, enough people start saying, yeah, fuck that. So the bullshit turns to fuck that. That's how you change things, okay? It starts with bullshit, leads to fuck that, leads to hell yeah. That's the three steps to social change. Everyone says that's bullshit. Everyone starts saying, fuck that. I'm not going to follow that rule. I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm done with that. And then the third thing is, you know, eventually the legal system catches up and they say, yeah, you're right. Everyone thinks that. We're going to change the rules. And now everyone can say, hell yeah, we changed it. We fixed it. So, come on, guys. Stop following stupid fucking rules. Stop being Nazis, man. If there's something that we can all agree is bullshit, if deep down you think it's bullshit, start saying, hey, this is bullshit. Just say it. Don't worry about who's listening. Don't worry about the ramifications. The first guy to say it, if there's not anyone else voicing their opinion, yeah, that guy's going to get in trouble. And guess what? If you guys all say it, if you're not afraid, if you don't let the first few guys, and believe me, there's already been the first few guys, we're well into changing this issue in particular in this country. I guarantee in the next 5-10 years it'll be legal on a national level, if not in the next 5-10 months, which would be wonderful. It's going to depend on who we elect, right? If we elect fucking Jeb Bush, maybe not, right? Well, let's not get too far political. Again, I'm not trying to create a political issue. I'm trying to look at something that we can collectively, as a people, say, bullshit, fuck that, and then we can finally get to hell yeah. So, I mean, that pretty much sums up what I wanted to say, I guess. My episodes tend to start off boring and then hopefully get good, so maybe you should start skipping ahead. But, you know, they kind of build. And this is a great point. You need to stand up for yourself. All right, end of the episode. Remember, the three steps to social change are bullshit, fuck that, hell yeah. Peace.